Chapter 28. The Aspiring Billionaire in Costa Rica. Everything was so calm. The ocean, the air, the sky. Ross consumed it all in one gasp and felt happy to his core. It was early morning in Costa Rica, and the wind blew softly from the east across the placid water where he sat bobbing on his surfboard. The looming mutiny that had been bubbling to the top of the Silk Road for the past few months had finally fizzled out, though some of those behind the insurrection had left for new, much smaller competitors on the dark web. With those troublemakers gone, the site was now running relatively fluidly again. Employees were toiling away under the direction of the captain, Dread Pirate Roberts, and it was continuing to grow at a staggering pace. Ross's profits were multiplying by the second, quite literally, as the value of bitcoins was dramatically increasing. It was as if he stuck a dollar bill in his pocket before he went to sleep, and found $2 or even $3 there the next day. As a result, his personal net worth was well into the tens of millions of dollars. He was tightening up security protocols, too. To be sure that the people who worked for him had not been compromised by the cops, Ross made his closest advisors adopt a question-and-answer system that only those two people would know. So if he asked one of his employees, "How's the weather?" the employee would have to reply with the exact phrase, "Boy, is it cold here in the Bahamas." If the employee said something else, like, "Oh, fine, how is it with you?" Ross would know something was amiss and could immediately shut down their account. Each employee had their own question and answer. "If I say, 'Can you recommend a good book?'" Ross wrote to another underling. "You reply, 'Anything by Rothbard.'" But more important than any of that was that Ross had finally figured out how to put the issue of Julia's knowledge about the Silk Road to rest, something he would address once and for all when he returned to Texas in a couple of weeks. He had flown down to Costa Rica at the end of May to stay at the hidden plot of magic that his family owned there, a 4-acre enclave called Casa Bamboo at the southern tip of the country's peninsula. Paradise with an internet connection. This place was special to Ross for many reasons. When he wasn't in Texas as a child, he had come of age here, exploring the jungles with his sister, sitting on the porch with his mother, listening to the howler monkeys, and learning how to surf on a mini foam surfboard with his father. But Ross loved Casa Bamboo for a more salient reason. It had been one of the influences that led him to start the Silk Road. 20 years earlier, his parents had fallen in love with the area while on vacation and decided to build a family holiday home in the pasture. Ross's dad, along with a few friends and locals, built 4 cabanas that made up a tranquil solar-powered Swiss Family Robinson retreat. The Ulbricks rented the place to tourists part of the year, so paradise paid for itself and then some. This accomplishment had made Ross want to pursue a similar goal of starting something from scratch. And boy, had he ever. Ross had confided in Variety Jones about some of his lofty earlier dreams and how they now seemed within reach. Specifically, Ross shared a silent declaration he had made to himself in 2004 that by the time he was 30 years old, he would be worth $1 billion. For so long, it had seemed he would fail dismally at that quest. Yet now, 2 months after he turned 28, the goal wasn't so out of reach anymore. As Ross said to VJ in one of their long conversations, when he looked at the current trajectory of the Silk Road, if he calculated the future sales of the enterprise, it could happen. He could very well be a billionaire in 2 years. When Ross showed VJ the latest Excel spreadsheets outlining the revenue and projections of the Silk Road, VJ responded with a shocked, "Fuck me," then added, $100 million is starting to look light for 2012. On for $1 billion in 2013. Giddy up. Ross replied. To get there, though, they would need to continue expanding. DPR and VJ had been experimenting with different ideas to grow the site, including a 420 contest, where people could enter a raffle and win different illegal things, and some legal ones, including an all-expenses-paid vacation with some additional spending money. But Variety Jones and DPR both knew it wasn't contests and the Silk Road alone that would get Ross to his coveted billionaire status. The site needed to diversify into other markets and to reach a larger set of customers. They discussed an entire genre of underground websites that would borrow from the Silk Road brand. Silk Digital could be for downloadable digital goods, like stolen software and tools for hackers. Silk Pharma would be for pain meds, uppers, or downers. Maybe they could build a site for weapons, they reasoned. But these expansions would take work. So Ross had decided to come down to Costa Rica, to his parents' patch of paradise, to focus on this exact problem. His mother and father didn't have a clue what their son was working on. How can you look at your own flesh and blood, who was once a Boy Scout, then a physicist, who donated books to the local prison in his early 20s, and think, oh, maybe he's becoming one of the most notorious drug dealers alive? You can't. It doesn't enter the mind. When Lynn and Kirk looked at their son, they saw a brilliant and idealistic 28-year-old who spent so much time on the computer because he was trading stocks. Ross believed the day would come when the movement he'd launched would become unstoppable and prove to the U.S. government that the only way to win the war on drugs was to legalize them completely. Then, and only then, would the Dread Pirate Roberts be able to remove the mask, and Ross Ulbricht would step out onto the world's stage and take a bow. His mother would look proudly at her son, the hero of the libertarian movement, a movement that had first been planted in Ross's mind as a tiny seedling at his parents' dinner table discussions back in Austin. Though Ross and VJ knew that wasn't going to happen just yet. As Ross sprung out of the water in Costa Rica, he rinsed the sand off his body and scarfed down breakfast before scurrying away to work on his laptop in private, hidden from prying eyes. I'm in a magical place right now, to be sure, he told Variety Jones when he logged into their chat window. I'm stoned on oxygen and the sea breeze. But that now familiar specter of something bad was looming again, and VJ had something else to talk about. Dude, I'm worried about our winner, Variety Jones said, referring to the person who had won the 420 contest and was about to be awarded the all-expenses-paid vacation and a few thousand dollars in cash. What's the matter? DPR replied. He's trying to dry out. Heroin. It's not working. And I think his recent influx of cash didn't help. Oh, geez. Fuck, what are we doing? DPR said, then joked. Should have thought more carefully about dropping 4K on an addict. Maybe our next prize will be 3 months in rehab. Yeah, VJ said. It does show we've got problems Gillette doesn't have in their promos. Variety Jones then joked that their next promotion should be win 3 months in rehab. The more drugs you buy, the more chances you have to win. As Ross changed the subject of the conversation to more pressing issues, specifically how to expand the Silk Road and grow the business, so he could reach that special 10-digit number, the calm Costa Rica sky was starting to turn a deeper gray. A violent storm was on the horizon, ominously moving closer to land.